Welcome to an ElmQuest presentation.
Purification of the heart. Love, fear, and tears. Presented by Abdul Bari Yahya.
Part two.
The two wings of the believer.
He said that we were sitting with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam one day, and a person came. Of course, before the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to speak to his companions, and he said, "Yatla alaykum al-an rajulun min ahl al-jannah," meaning a person will come through that door, the masjid, through that door, a person will come who will be amongst the people of paradise. And then a person came in. He came in, and his beard was wet with, you know, from making wudu, and he had drops of wudu coming from his face. And so the next day, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he was speaking to his companions, he said the same thing. He said, a person who will come from that door right now will be amongst the people of paradise. And then that same person came again. And then next time, another person, the same time, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did the same thing, and the same person came again. And then, because, you know, it happened three times, Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As, radiallahu anhuma, he said, you know, he wanted to know what is it that person is doing that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would bear witness that he is amongst the people of paradise. What is he doing? What kind of deeds? Why is he different from us? Why did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam bear witness that he was going to be amongst the people of paradise? And so he came, Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As, he followed that person to his house, and he said, he told him, he said, I had a problem with my parents, my father. And I swore to Allah. He said, I swore to Allah that I would not, enter the house, same house with him for 3 days. So he said that. And then, so can I please stay with you? And his intention, of course, wasn't that. And he wasn't lying. He did swear that he wouldn't enter. He probably had just a little bit of problem, but you know. So, you know, the companion, he, of course, you know, they're far from, you know, from lying. So he was just saying that, that he would, he wanted to stay with that person. That's the reason why he did that. That's why he swore that he wouldn't stay in that for that occasion. So he stayed, with, that companion, and he stayed with him. And he, of course, he was, you know, very observant every single time, you know, at night time. See what kind of special prayers did he pray? What kind of dhikr did he make? What kind of actions did he do that was different? Then when he looked at him, he said, he started looking down upon him and his deed. He says, you know, this person looks like he does even less than me. You know, he just wakes up a little bit before Fajr, and then he prays his, you know, tahajjud, and a little bit, you know, and then he goes to pray, and he doesn't do anything extra. In 3 days, and he hasn't done anything extra, nothing that nobody else would do. I mean, just normal. And in fact, he probably is doing it less, he's trying to do it less than me. So finally, after 3 days, you know, he gave up. He didn't see anything. He didn't see anything different from that person. Different from what he was doing, or what anybody else would be doing. So he asked him, he said, you know, I, the reason why I asked to stay with you was not because of, you know, those problems. It's because I wanted to see, why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say that you were amongst the people of paradise. That was the only reason why I wanted to stay and see what kind of deeds did you do. And he said, you know, you see what I'm doing. I mean, it's nothing special. You know, you've been here 3 days, you've seen what I've been doing. And then when Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As, when he was about to go away, the companion, the Sahabi, called him back. He said, no, I do have one deed that I always hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward me greatly. So he said, before I go to sleep, I don't have any jealousy towards anybody. I don't have any envy towards anybody. And I forgive anybody who ever does anything to me at all whatsoever. Every single night before I go to sleep, I cleanse my heart of all those things. And then Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As, he said, that's the deed that we can't do. And it's difficult. You know, imagine, you know, sometimes look, you just look at ourselves, ask ourselves. Sometimes somebody yells at you, like in the masjid. So when you go to sleep, you can't forgive him. You come the next day, you want to get away from him, right? You don't want to come close to him when somebody yells at you, or, you know, even sometimes your wife, you know, your wife says something, you, for 3 or 4 days, you don't even, sometimes you look at her, you know, you don't forgive her. And so he forgives everybody, anybody who's done anything to him. He's not jealous towards anybody. So the first, before you go to sleep, So if you purify your hearts, because the people who enter paradise are the people with pure hearts. إِلَّا مَنْ أَتَى اللَّهَ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ. Those are the people. That's why he enters paradise, not because of a lot of deeds. Because it's pure. It doesn't have any diseases. It's pure. And that's the... And how do you purify the hearts? You purify the hearts with those deeds. When you're doing good deeds, you purify the hearts. That's why if he didn't do a lot of deeds, he's still in paradise, because it's pure. So, you know, the heart is very easy, but it's also very difficult to control. It's very easy to do. It's very easy to purify your heart, but it's difficult because some of us, our hearts are not very good. And subhanAllah, we have problems, and sometimes it just stays in our mind all the time, like envy and jealousy. And also hatred and things like that. We should just take that out from our hearts. And how do you do that? Think this way. Is being mad at that person, not forgiving that person, worth not going to paradise? Is it worth it? There's no way it's worth it. Is it worth it that you're always envying, being jealous of that? Is it worth it? Compare, put paradise on one scale and put that hatred you have for that person. You want paradise more, or you want to hate him more? You know, put it in the scale every single night. Put all those things that you have, and then put paradise on the other side. And say, is it worth it for me to get mad at him or to be angry at him? Should I just forgive him? Subhanallah, paradise is so much better. Why am I angry at him? It's only this dunya. So leave it and purify your hearts. So before you go to sleep. So inshallah, every single night, we should do that. We should purify our hearts. Put paradise on one side and put all the envy, the jealousy, the dunya and everything you have on the other side. Is this worth paradise? Compare paradise. Is it worth it? Which one's better? Which one do you want? You want paradise? Throw all that away. Put it aside and purify your heart. Bismikallahumma amutu ahya. Alhamdulillah, go to sleep. So inshallah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala purify our hearts. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us amongst those whose hearts are pure and will enter paradise and fill those the highest level of paradise with the prophets and the shuhada and his companions. And indeed he is able, inshallah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us with that thing and also to apply what we have learned and also to correct our deeds and have help us to check all our deeds all the time, inshallah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inshallah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the topic will be al-khawf wal-raja, the two wings of the mu'min, meaning hope and fear, the two wings of the mu'min, the two wings of the believers. And the reason why I chose this topic was because I remember when I just came back from Medina, I gave a couple of khutbas. And most of the khutbas I gave were concerning the hellfire, concerning committing sins, and a lot of, topics that just had, sort of like takhweef, I mean, just like putting fear in people's hearts, so they would leave the sins. And then one of the brothers who just recently had become Muslim. And so he's used to hearing a lot of, he's a very, very strong practicing Christian before. And he came to me, he said, brother, every single time you give, the khutbah and, you know, the talks, mashallah, they're very good, but all your talk, you're always warning people, you're always talking about adab, and you're always talking adab al-qabr, adab al-nar, and you don't speak about, you know, the paradise, and he said, you know, this is exactly how the Christians are. What they have two kinds. You have two kinds of priests or two kinds of lecturers in the church. You have a person who's like always, you know, you're going to be in the hellfire if you're speaking very strong and strictly about, you know, just putting fear in people's hearts only. And then he said, you also have another person, another guy who's just like, everything is just hope, you know, you don't have to do anything, inshallah, you know, Allah will forgive you, and, you know, God will forgive you and forgive your sins just as long as you believe in, Jesus, and pretty much you can do anything. So always speaking about the good things, and there's no fear or no hope whatsoever. So I started to, when he said that, I said, subhanAllah, that's correct. you know, all the topics I've been speaking about is all, that's all they were, about 4 or 5 topics in a row. It's all about punishment and all about things that, you know, put fear in people's hearts. And so what happened was, you know, I started to think, I said, SubhanAllah, that's correct. And when you read the Quran, you'll see that's what you have. You have khawf and raja, you fear and hope. Every time you look in the Quran, every time Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the paradise, just, you don't have to wait very long. Just the next ayat or the next few ayats, they'll be about, if it's about hellfire beginning, then it'll be about paradise. If it's about paradise, then it's about the hellfire. And there's a balance. There's a balance between hope and fear. And this is how the mu'min, you know, goes forward. So that's why in Madarij al-Salikin, Ibn Qayyim al-Jawzi, rahimahullah, he said, al-qalb fi sayrihi ila Allah azza wa jalla bi manzilati ta'ir. He said, the heart, when it flies to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is just like a bird. You know, it's like a bird. And فَالْمَحَبَّةُ رَأْسُهُ. Love, you know, love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the head, is the head. وَالْخَوْفُ وَالْرَجَاءُ جَنَاحَا. And khawf, fear and hope are the two wings. Fear and hope are the two wings. You have to have both. If you had only hope only, then, you know, if a bird only had one, or an airplane only had one wing, then it wouldn't be able to fly. You would go in circles. You would just go around and round and round and round, and you wouldn't be hitting anywhere. And you wouldn't even, I mean, you couldn't even take off. You couldn't take off. So, and so he mentioned, and he continued, فَمَتَى سَلِمَ الرَّأْسُ وَالْجَنَاحَانِ فَالطَّائِرُ جَيُّدُ الطَّيَّرَانِ. He said, if the head, of course you can't have the head. The head is the heart. You know, if you don't have the head, then of course you can't fly. But if the head and the two wings are good, I mean, they're straight and they're proper, then this is when you have flight, when it takes flight, when the airplane and the bird takes flight. So, but if وَمَتَى قُتِئَ الرَّأْسُ مَاتَ الطَّائِرُ. If you cut the head, then the bird is dead. So if you don't have no heart, that's the heart. If the heart is dead, then there's no use, there's nothing left. And also, وَمَتَى فُقِدَ الْجَنَاحَانِ فَهُوَ عَرَّضًا لِكُلِّ صَائِدٍ كَاسِرٍ. He said, if a person, you know, if a bird loses one of its wings, then if a person comes, you know, if a person who is like hunting, is bird hunting, looking for a bird, it's very easy to find, it's on the ground, it can't fly. So it's there for the taking. It's there for the taking. It's there for the shaitan to take it. If a person just has one and not have the other. And so that's why it's good. It's always, you always have to have strength in both your wings. You always have fear at the same time, so you can avoid the sins. And you have hope, so you can increase in your good deeds. So fear and hope always go together, for the Muslims. And of course, that's the thing is that, the head, of course, is the heart, in which, we have, as I mentioned before, we have to purify. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of course, we're going to start, inshallah, with, you know, hope and fear, but we'll begin with what the Prophet, with the companions, and Allah, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran concerning this particular aspect of Islam. There's a hadith in Muslim Imam Ahmad and At-Tirmidhi rahimahumullah, from Aisha, Umm al-Mu'mineen radiyallahu anha, قالت قلت يا رسول الله قال الله تعالى والذين يؤتون ما آتوا وقلوبهم وجلة أنهم إلى ربهم راجعون. The meaning of which is those who give, you know, those who give in charity of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to them, and their hearts are lenient. I mean, their hearts are very soft. They have soft hearts, and they return, and to their Lord they return, and to their Lord they return, and they return to the Lord. So Aisha radiallahu anha asked about this ayat. Those people who return to their Lord, whose hearts are very soft, is it those people who commit zina, or they drink alcohol, or they steal, and then they fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then they fear wa yakhaf Allah azza wa jal, then does this ayat pertain to those people who commit those sins, and then after that they fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then they return? And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, la yabnata siddiq walakinhu alladhi yasum wa yusalli wa yatasaddaq wa yakhaf an la yataqabbal Allah minhu. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "No, daughter of As-Siddiq, daughter of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. This means a person who fasts and prays and gives sadaqah, but he is afraid that Allah will not accept it from him. Doesn't mean a person who commits sin unless a person who prays. And then he returns to Allah because he's afraid that his sin and his deeds are not accepted from him. That's why Al-Hasan al-Basri, rahimahullah, when he was speaking, he went through the ayat, in which Allah subhanahu, the ayat of the two sons of Adam, when they, Habil and Qabil. And then at the end of the ayat, إِنَّمَا يَتَقَبَّلَ اللَّهُ مِنَ الْمُتَّقِينَ إِنَّمَا يَتَقَبَّلَ اللَّهُ مِنَ الْمُتَّقِينَ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, indeed Allah subhanahu does not accept from the muttaqeen. Does not accept except from those who fear Allah, who are God conscious of Allah subhanahu, who have taqwa. Allah subhanahu does not accept their deeds except for those who are muttaqeen. So Al-Hasan al-Basri said, if I knew Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala were to accept one of my deeds, right? If you accept just one of my deeds, I would want to die then, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّمَا يَتَقَبَّلَ اللَّهُ مِنَ الْمُتَّقِينَ Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not accept except from the muttaqeen. And if you are muttaqeen, إِنَّ الْمُتَّقِينَ مَفَازَ Right? Muttaqeen. And indeed, those people who fear Allah, indeed those will be in paradise, and you know, paradise, and they will be successful. So if I knew Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept my deed, then I would want to die then. Because Allah does not accept, except from the muttaqeen. So this is what Al-Hasan al-Basri rahmatullahu alayhi mentioned. And of course the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he used to give talks, the companions would see that if it was as if the hellfire was right in front, and as if paradise was right in front of them, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spoke. And he was very, of course, you know, eloquent in his speech, and all the companions, when they listened in a state of, sincerity at the same time with full concentration, whatever the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned another hadith when he was speaking. He said, "Inni ara ma la taraun." He said, "I see what you don't see." I mean, Allah, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam knows many things that we don't know. And he's seen many things that we haven't seen. When he went for, you know, Isra al-Mi'raj, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed him many things. And he said, أَطَّتَ السَّمَاءُ وَحَقَّ لَهَا أَن تَأْطَ He said, the heavens have been shaken. Has moved. And it is rightfully so. It should be shaken. It should be shaken. مَا فِيهَا مَوْضِعَ أَرْبِعَ أَصَابِعَ إِلَّا وَمَلَكٌ وَاضِعٍ جَبْهَةُ سَاجِدًا لِلَّهِ تَعَالَى There is not a single place anywhere in the heavens or on the earth, a span of four finger, except there's a malaika that's making sujood to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So everywhere there's malaika making sujood to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam then said, Wallahi, لو تعلمون ما أعلم لضحكتم قليلا ولبكيتم كثيرا. Said, if you knew what I knew, you would laugh little. You wouldn't laugh much. And وَلَبَكَيْتُمْ كَثِيرًا And you would cry a lot if you knew what I knew. وَمَا تَلَذَّثْتُمْ بِالنِّسَاءِ عَلَى الْفُرُشِ And you wouldn't even enjoy your wives on their beds. You wouldn't even enjoy your wives on your bed if you knew what I knew. وَلَخَرَجْتُمْ إِلَى سُعَدَاءِ تَجْأَرُونَ إِلَى اللَّهِ تَعَالَى And you would go into the open fields asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you knew what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we knew what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam knew. And subhanAllah, you know, all these things are considered things of the unseen, you know, things that we don't see. And this is the meaning of iman, belief. Belief is to believe in something that you haven't seen. Because if you've already seen it already, then it's not really called iman anymore. It's called ayn al-yaqeen wa haqq al-yaqeen. It's not, because you've seen it with your eyes. So that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't accept the tawbah of a person once he's already seen the akhirah already. You know, once the soul reaches the throat already, that means he's seen the malaika, he's seen the hereafter. So even if you tell him, you know, like for example, a non-Muslim, you tell him, oh, believe, because if you're about to die, the angels will come. And if you tell him, he doesn't believe, of course. But if he's already seen it, and you tell him, don't believe, even if you told him not to believe, he would believe. Because he can't. He's already seen it with his own eyes. So that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praises those who believe in the unseen, الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ those who believe in the unseen. So amongst the things of the unseen, of course, there are many things that we don't see and that we haven't seen. And of course, there are many things that we would like, we like the paradise and the hellfire. Paradise and hellfire are the things that are unseen. And these things that we can't see, of course, we believe in them. And we put a trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, then we believe in the way it was, the way it is without adding or without subtracting. But if we were to know, if we were to really know and we were to really see these things, then, our actions would be different. But if our iman is so strong to the point where it's just like we're seeing, then we will be in the states, and we will be in the state of such high iman that our iman is so high that it's just like we're seeing, then we'll have that high iman, and then our actions and our deeds will be affected. Our deeds will be affected when our iman goes up. Because our iman has become almost like, something that we've seen with our own eyes. And, when I mentioned about, ilm al-ghayb, things that are unseen, I always remember a story of one of my teachers always speaking, telling us about the story of how, I remember the story of the telephone, how when it first came to Saudi Arabia. And the first time when it came, he told me, when the telephone first came to Saudi Arabia, the scholars, some of the scholars say it was haram. So it's not permissible to use the telephone. It's not permissible to use the telephone. It says haram. And the reason was, because, our minds are like very limited. It's very limited in comprehension and understanding. And we can make it grow. I mean, sometimes when we study more, sometimes we can comprehend things more. But it's very limited. So some of the scholars say it's haram. And then you're wondering, why is it haram? Why is it haram to use the telephone? So the scholars said, the reason why, because a person in Saudi Arabia cannot speak to a person in America live. I mean, at the same time, you're speaking, somebody's over 3, 4, 5,000 miles away. There's no way. You have to use magic. The jinn has to bring it, that sound. It's sihr. And magic is haram. It's shirk. You can't use the telephone. You can't use the telephone. And subhanAllah, the reason is because, they're in the desert, right? And they don't have any technology. And you tell them, somebody here can speak to another person, it's magic. There's no way. Because they can't comprehend. SubhanAllah, we can't even comprehend the electricity. We can't even comprehend a lot of things. We don't even know how many. If I asked me, if I said here, how many strings of hair do you have in your head? None of us would be able to answer. And that's us. Right? And so the same way, the things in the hereafter, whatever, doesn't matter how good it is, or how, the paradise, it doesn't matter how pleasurable and how nice it is, we can never comprehend it. Because our minds, we can't comprehend these things in the dunya. How are we, our minds are like, we only have like certain levels where we can reach. Like for example, you have sometimes electronic devices. Yeah, some of them are like 110, 220. If you have a 110, you plug it in 220, it blows up. It blows up. So the same way, if it has 110 and you plug in 220, you can't handle it. And if you have a water, you can only put 2 liters in there. You're going to pour 5 liters, it's going to spill. So it can only comprehend that much unless you can make it bigger. But see, so that's why in the unseen, these things, whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whenever we read in the Quran about paradise, whatever you imagine, it's greater than that. How good, the pleasures of paradise is much, much greater than that. Also the punishment. However it is mentioned, it is much greater than what you can comprehend, what you can imagine. So it's over, it's past that. And whatever, when we speak about paradise and hellfire, I have an example I always give. I remember, we always, when we're kids, we always want things in paradise. For us, inshallah, if I go to paradise, I'm gonna want this. If I go to paradise, I'm gonna want that. Inshallah. We always think, inshallah, when I go to paradise, I'm gonna have that Porsche or something like that. But subhanAllah, when you really think about it, when you go to paradise, those things are like garbage, the things that you want right now. It's like garbage. You won't even want it. Okay. You won't even want the way that you perceived or thought about it. It's like garbage. You wouldn't even want it. You know, like you, the way you, for example, you imagine the most beautiful woman in her line, then the way you imagine, then when you see her, you know, you see it in real life, you say, oh man, the way I imagined was garbage. It's nothing. And it doesn't matter how beautiful you made her in your head. She's much better. And it doesn't matter how good the food tastes in your mind. It's much better. You know, so that's why I remember when I was a little kid. Now we were like, when you're 6 or 7 years old, I remember during that time, that's like in the 80s. And, of course, you know, when you're little kids, you like to play video games. And sometimes, and we had some, you know, one of the things that I wanted, I used to say like, inshallah, if I enter paradise, I want an Atari 2600. And not only did I want an Atari 2600, I said, I want an Atari 2600 with all the games that's ever made for the Atari 2600. I mean, that's what I wanted. I made dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for that when I was a little kid. Because, you know, you're a little kid, you think really short. And right now, you get an Atari 2600, nobody wants it. Oh, this is just a ball going back and forth. It's just like, and they call that soccer or hockey, and it's just the ball going back and forth, and you're blocking back and forth. But you see, when you're a little kid, you perceive things that you really want, that you really like. Those things, I mean, right now, you know, think about the things that you ask Allah for. You say, subhanAllah, I don't want them right now. I don't want them. So the same way, it's paradise and paradise, inshallah. When you get there, I mean, all the things that you really wanted, it's going to be so much better that anything that you ever perceived in your head is like worthless. It's nothing. It's just like, you know, just like right now, you don't really, so you're going, inshallah, I want a house next to the beach. Or, you know, by that time when you get there, subhanAllah, that house is junk. That's a, what is that? That's a hut. Compared, you know, it's worse than a hut. Okay. That's a shack for homeless people compared to the houses in paradise. Even worse. SubhanAllah. You know, when we're thinking about big houses, subhanAllah, when we really think of paradise, it's so much greater. It's so much greater. So that's why Ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhu, he said, when you hear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaking in the Quran about anything, the only thing that is the same is the name. The only thing that is the same is the name. When, you know, there are fruits in paradise, but the fruits, we think about oranges, you know, kiwi fruits and apples and whatever you like, you know, things that you like, mangoes, pineapples and, you know, all the exotic fruits. You know, you have fruits in paradise. But, you know, it's the only thing that's the same is the name, because it's so much greater. It's so much better. But if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because, you know, we haven't seen it. It's ilm al-ghayb. But we believe. So the same way with the punishment. This punishment, doesn't matter how difficult, how hard it is, that you perceive it to be, it's so much greater. It's past the perception that we have, the imagination that we have. Because it's past that. So when you read in the Quran and then and also in the hadith about the punishment and about the rewards in paradise, you have to know that it's much greater than that. And the punishment is also much greater than that. So it will help us. So that's why the Prophet ﷺ said, you know, you haven't seen what I've seen. Because if you did, then you would cry a lot more. And you wouldn't even enjoy, because you'd be so fearful, afraid of the punishment. So of the graveness and the greatness of the punishment. Of course, you know, we hear about the hadith, about the hellfire and about paradise. And the width of paradise, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, one time he was with his companions and he heard a drop. And the drop, there was a drop. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, you know, this was a rock that was dropped over 70 years ago. And it just reached the bottom. Now imagine if a person dropped a rock from the airplane. How long does it take to get to the ground? Just a few minutes. And imagine 70 years, just one day, how many miles and how big it is. So, subhanAllah, you know, the depths of the hellfire is so great that you really can't, you can't imagine. But you know, if a person really fears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then if he truly fears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then he does good deeds. And you start to do good deeds. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Man khafa adlaj, wa man adlaj balagh al-manzil." He said, a person who fears will wake up and pray at night. A person who really fears will wake up and pray at night. And whoever wakes up and prays at night, then Allah subhanahu will give him a high position. He will get the high position. One of the things that will take away anybody's sleep is fear. You know, when you're afraid. When you're afraid, you can't sleep. When a person is afraid, they really can't sleep. And that's one of the things that will help, inshallah, if you have a hard time waking up in the morning. Or just think about things that will put fear in your heart, especially in the hellfire, about the hellfire, about the punishment in the grave. And once, if it's truly, if you really fear, then of course that sleep will immediately go away. That sleep will immediately go away. So, like if a person, somebody called, if you were at home, you were sleeping, right? If you were sleeping and somebody called and said, there's a robber, there's a person with a gun outside your house. There's a person with a gun outside your house. Maybe your neighbor called you, there's a person with a gun. Is there any way you can fall back to sleep? There's no way you're going to go back to sleep. Even if you really wanted to, you couldn't go back to sleep. Why? Because man khafa adlaj, whoever fears wakes up at night. Woman adlaj balagh al manzil, whoever fears wakes up. You won't go to sleep if you have fear. There's no way you can go to sleep with a guy with a gun outside your house. And so, and if you fear, if you truly fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you wake up, and when you wake up, then you reach a high level. Ala inna silatullahi ghaliya. Indeed, the merchandise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very expensive. Ala inna silatullahi al-jannah. Indeed, the merchandise that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to give us, that wants to sell to us, is paradise, is jannah, is jannah. And we enter paradise. We don't enter paradise with our deeds. It doesn't matter how much deeds that you do, you will not enter paradise. What's the reason? We will only enter because of the mercy of Allah. Why? Because paradise is so great. No matter how much deed you do, you will never have it equivalent to what Allah subhanahu will give you. Now, I always give the example, for example, of a person. Let's say I wanted a glass of water, and I told my son, I said, "Son, can you go and get me a glass of water?" So he went to get me a glass of water. When he came back, I gave him $300. I gave him $300 just for giving a glass of water. That means, how much he made? An hour, I calculate an hour if you were to work. That's like 10 seconds, he made $300. Nobody makes that, 10 seconds, unless you're Bill Gates maybe. But, but no, nobody makes that kind of money, right? And when I give him that money, it's not because he deserved it. Did he deserve $300? He didn't deserve $300 for getting a glass of water. It's because I loved him and I had mercy towards him. Maybe he wanted something, really bad. Maybe he wanted a bicycle. Or he wanted a really nice bicycle. And I told him to go get a glass of water, and I gave him $300 to buy his bicycle. It's not because of what he did, because what he did is so small. And what I gave him is worth so much more. So, paradise is so expensive. It's so much greater. It's like, if I told somebody, if you vacuum this whole masjid, I'll give you $3 million. Let's say some rich guy comes. When he vacuumed the whole masjid, is that because of his deed? Nobody, people don't make $3 million a whole lifetime. Now you're going to vacuum the whole masjid and you make $3 million? Is that because of his deed? It's not because of his deed. It's because that person had something in his heart, had that mercy in his heart, and wanted to help that person. So that's why when you do your deeds, and then he does that, he vacuums, mashallah, he vacuums, of course, you can get $3 million. I don't think there's going to be a speck of dust in the masjid, inshallah. If it's going to get $3 million for it. Right? So he'll do a really good, really good job. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the deeds that we do is so minuscule, so small compared to what Allah gives us. It doesn't matter how much we do, it will never be equivalent to paradise that he gives us. Subhanallah, paradise, imagine you do right now, okay, if somebody did that, for example, if you gave him, let's say, you say I gave him $3 million. Even if I gave him $3 million. That job that he did, of course, is not worth it. And if he's working, and how much do we work nowadays? And when we go to work, how much do we make? And how much do we make when we go to work? I mean, $50,000 a year, or maybe, you know, $20 an hour, or $12 an hour, $15 an hour, what's up, or whatever. How much effort do we put into that? How much effort do we put in? And we only get a little bit. You know, we only get a little bit. But, you know, if you, so that effort, just for the praying, and that thing that we get, it doesn't matter, even if it was $300,000, compared to the effort that we made, you know, even if it's a lot, maybe even if it was a lot, it wouldn't be equal, you know, meaning, if you were to pray, because why? Because this dunya, you get $3,000, for example, $3 million, you spend it really quick and it's over. You know, you buy your house, you buy your car that you want, and you buy, you know, all the things that you really want. But then it ends. And so if that was the price and then it ended, what would the price of eternity be? There would be no price. Eternity, there would be no price because it's eternal. It doesn't matter how much. You know, those who are mathematicians. You know, eternity, when you compare eternity to anything, it doesn't matter how much that number is, it equals zero. That number is zero. It's worthless. Eternity. You know, if you have 3 million, is it equal to eternity? No. 10 million, 100 million, one Google. If you compare it to eternity, it would be worthless, nothing. That's how, because eternity doesn't have a price. Because it's forever. And you're doing it just for a few years. The deeds that we're doing just for a few years. There's no way it's going to equal. There's no way it's going to equal what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us. That's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, none of you will enter paradise with your deeds. And then the companion said, even you, Ya Rasulullah, even me, except that Allah, إِلَّا يَتَغَمَّدِيَنَ اللَّهِ بِرَحْمَةٍ مِّنَهُ وَفَضْلًا. Except that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showers me with His mercy. It's His mercy that we enter paradise. But we do the good deeds so we can achieve that mercy. So we can have, but it's not the deeds that are going to bring us paradise, because paradise is so great. إِنَّ سِلْأَةَ اللَّهِ غَالِيَةً إِنَّ سِلْأَةَ اللَّهِ الْجَنَّةِ. Indeed, the merchandise of Allah is expensive. Very expensive. And His merchandise is Jannah. And He gives it to us. And the thing is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala invites us to paradise. Wallahu yad'u ila daris salam. Allah invites us to paradise, you know. And everybody will enter paradise. Except for those who refuse. You know, subhanAllah, the companions, when they heard that, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Kullu ummati yadkhulun al-jannah illa man aba. Everybody enters paradise except for those who refuse. The companion said, subhanAllah, paradise? And somebody would refuse? La ilaha illallah. The paradise, enter paradise. No, I don't want to enter. SubhanAllah. Who would do that? Who would do that? Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Man ata'ani dakhala al-jannah. وَمَنْ أَصَانِي فَقَدْ أَبَى. Whoever obeys me will enter paradise. And whoever disobeys me, then he's refused to enter paradise. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes so many deeds, many things that we can do to enter paradise. Allah wants us to enter paradise. It's us that we refuse to enter paradise. Because He wants us to enter paradise. But we refuse to enter paradise. And of course, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah An-Nazi'at, وَأَمَّا مَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ وَنَهَى النَّفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَى فَإِنَّ الْجَنَّةَ هِيَ الْمَأْوَى. Whoever fears the position of his Lord, fears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَنَهَى النَّفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَى, and he stops his nafs, his desires, from following, you know, from following his desires, then inshallah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then paradise will be his abode. That's where he'll be. So it's the desires sometimes when if you can fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So fear, we have hope so we can do good deeds. And fear is the thing that will prevent you from doing the bad things. From the bad things. And some of them, you know, some of the scholars they used to mention that fear and hope, of course, for the mu'min should always be the same. But there are times in which you should make one heavier than the other. There are times which you should have more fear. For example, if a person, and also when you're speaking to people, if a person has, you know, commits a lot of sins, you know, and he's coming and he wants to be good, of course you're not going to tell him about the hellfire and punishment because he wants to be good. You tell him about the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and remind him that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all forgiving, most merciful. And if a person is coming, that commits a lot of sins and he's really, you know, he doesn't really want to, You know, he's not thinking about repenting or anything like that. So you give him both. You know, sometimes you give him both, and whichever, it depends on the person himself. So because, you know, these things are, you know, like the wings of the mu'min. You have to have both, fear and hope. If you only have fear, then you give up, because everybody commits so much sins. If you only have fear, then we would, subhanAllah, if we only had fear and we never hoped in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I don't think anybody would be in this masjid. Why? Because just think of your sins. Think of the sins that we commit right now. Just think, how many sins do we commit? And pretend, you know, just think that, you know, we don't have hopes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You don't have any hopes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You don't have any hope. I mean, you just, oh, I have so much sins, subhanahu wa ta'ala. You just give up. So you'd have to have both. And also, if you have hope only, you'd be just like the Christians. You know, just believe and you enter paradise. Just believe and you enter paradise. And they go outside and do all kinds of things and commit adultery and fornication and subhanAllah. They do so many things. And they say, oh, as long as I believe in Jesus, I'm saved. So you have to have both. As a Muslim, we have to have both. And of course, the thing that will help us to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to have hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is knowledge. We have to have knowledge. And that's why the highest position amongst the people are the scholars who are sincere in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who are sincere. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّمَا يَخْشَى اللَّهَ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْعُلَمَاءِ. Indeed, إِنَّمَا means only, you know, like, you know, those who fear Allah are the one amongst His servants are the ulama, the scholars, or the people who are knowledge. We have knowledge. Because if you don't have any knowledge, if you don't know who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, if you don't know the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you don't know what you're fearing. If you don't know what's in front of you, then how can you fear something you don't know what it is? So, and also the same way, how can you hope in something that you don't know about? So that's why knowledge is very important. And Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, he said, وَكَفَى بِخَشْيَةِ اللَّهِ عِلْمًا. So it's enough. Knowledge is enough to instill fear in a person. If a person has knowledge, inshallah, then he will fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And a person who fears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of course, you know, a person who fears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and at the same time hopes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will continually do good deeds and will avoid doing sins. That's why Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu, he said, if there was an angel who would come down and said and made an announcement, everybody will enter paradise except for one person. If he were to come down and say, everybody will enter paradise except for one person, I would fear that I'd be that person. I would, Umar al-Khattab, subhanAllah. That's how he was. SubhanAllah, Umar al-Khattab, he was afraid, he came to Hudhaifah, he said, did the Prophet count me amongst the munafiqeen? That's how they were. Umar al-Khattab, subhanAllah. Do we ever ask ourselves that? we never ask ourselves that. But this is Umar al-Khattab, radiallahu anhu. Did Allah subhanahu, because Hudhaifah knew the names of the munafiqeen. Did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam count me amongst the munafiqeen? SubhanAllah, Umar al-Khattab. And he said, if an angel were to come down and said, everybody will enter paradise except for me, I would be afraid that I'm that person. And if he came down and said, everybody will enter the hellfire except for me, I would hope that I'd be that one person. That's how he was. His hope, he would hope that, inshallah, everybody enter hellfire except for one person, I'm hoping I'm that person. So that's how the mu'min should be. The hope and the fear should be the same. Once you have one wing bigger than the other, you start crashing into trees and things like that. But you have to have them equal. You know, you have to have them equal. So that's how a Muslim should be. And Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu mentioned in the hadith. He said, the hadith is sahih, by the way, in Sahih al-Albani. He said, وَعِزَّتِي لَا أَجْمَعُ عَلَىٰ عَبْدِي خَوْفَيْنِ وَأَمْنَيْنِ. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَعِزَّتِي لَا أَجْمَعُ عَلَىٰ عَبْدِي بَيْنَ عَبْدِي خَوْفَيْنِ وَأَمْنَيْنِ. By my strength, izzah, I will not combine for my servant two fears and two peace peace. I mean, tranquility. Two times of peace and two times of fear. Fear and peace will not be combined. Two times. I mean, two fears and two pieces. Two fears and two pieces will not be combined. Or security. So I will not combine two securities and two fears. And إِذَا خَافَنِي فِي الدُّنْيَا أَمَّنْتُهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. If he fears me in this dunya, then I will give him security in the hereafter. وَإِذَا أَمَّنَنِي فِي الدُّنْيَا أَخَافْتُهُ فِي الْآخِرَةِ. And if he feels secure from me in this dunya, then I will make him fear in the hereafter. I will make him fear. So it won't combine. So if you're not fearing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you'll fear, you'll get it in hereafter. If you fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this life, then you'll get security in here, inshallah, security and peace and tranquility, in the hereafter. So, you know, when we fear somebody, you know, for people, when you fear somebody, you run away from them. But you know, when we fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we run to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is because, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of course, wants all that's good for us. And this is the meaning of hope and fear. We hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We run from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's why they're equal. We fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But a lot of people, you know, when they speak about hope, it's strange that some people, they think that, you know, you should hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he'll enter us paradise, but then they don't fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then they just hope. All they have is hope. When you have that, and a lot of people misunderstand, you know, that after, for example, that, you know, when you hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you just, you know, do whatever you can and then just hope, you know, and, you know, you don't do the deeds, you know, do the extra sunnahs, and you don't do just, inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive us as long as we're Muslims, we believe in Muslims. And a lot of Muslims say, inshallah, even if I enter the hellfire, inshallah, I won't stay forever. Subhanallah. Some people say, inshallah, I won't stay. They'll say that. But you know, when they say that, you know, I've heard some people say that, subhanallah, they say, inshallah, you know, inshallah, I'm a Muslim. Even if I enter paradise and hellfire, I won't stay forever. You know what they're saying? They're already saying that they're going to enter the hellfire. Subhanallah. They've already given up. Before they've even done anything, they've given up already. They say, I'll be in the hellfire. Inna lillahi wa inna ilahi raji'un. They've already given up. And, you know, when you read the Quran, listen to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells those who hope. What does hope mean? How do you hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Baqarah, ayah 218, Inna alladhina amanu walladhina hajaru وَجَاهَدُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أُولَٰئِكَ يَرْجُونَ رَحْمَةَ اللَّهِ وَاللَّهُ غَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. Listen to the ayat. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. Indeed, those who believe and those who make the hijrah. You know, the people who make hijrah, they leave everything that they have for Allah's sake. وَجَاهَدُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. And they make jihad فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. They go, you know, they go in the war, jihad فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. أُولَٰئِكَ يَرْجُونَ رَحْمَةَ اللَّهِ. Those are the people who hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They do all that they can first, and then they put their hopes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَاللَّهُ غَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all forgiving, most merciful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't say, you know, those who believe, and then they hope. No. He didn't say, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أُولَٰئِكَ يَرْجُونَ رَحْمَةَ اللَّهِ. No. He said, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَالَّذِينَ هَاجَرُوا وَجَاهَدُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أُولَٰئِكَ يَرْجُونَ رَحْمَةَ اللَّهِ. Those are the people who hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. After they do all these things, those are what we call people who hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, a lot of people are strange, you know, like, for example, if a person said, you know, I want, inshallah, I want children. Then he just stays in the masjid, says, are you going to get married? He said, no. Inshallah, I'll have children. I'll just stay in the masjid. I'll just sit here and read Quran, make dua to Allah. Allah will give it to me. I don't need to get married. What would you say to that person? He's missing something up there. Not enough marbles in your head. Subhanallah. In the dunya, we say that. Not enough marbles in your head. But in the akhirah, people do that. And then we say, we don't see it as such. They say, inshallah, I'll enter paradise. You know, but they don't do anything. Inshallah, they enter paradise. I hope Allah will put me in paradise. And they don't do anything. Those are not the people hoping in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They don't have enough marbles in their head. So, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا.
Indeed, those who believe. وَالَّذِينَ هَاجِرُوا make hijrah. You know what hijrah is? You know, the companions, when they made hijrah, they left everything. Their wealth. They left their, sometimes their families. For Allah's sake. I mean, they gave up everything. And then those who give, who jahadu fi sabilillah, what? They fight for the sake of Allah. They've given up themselves. Themselves. Property, self, family, everything. Working for Allah. Those are the people who hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not those people who sit in the masjid and went, you know. And then they, mashallah, or they just hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without doing any deeds. So that's ar-raja. That's what you call hope. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَتْلُونَ كِتَابَ اللَّهِ وَأَقَامَ الصَّلَاةِ وَأَنفَقُوا مِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ سِرَّ وَعَلَانِيَةً يَرْجُونَ تِجَارَةً لَنْ تَبُورَ يَرْجُونَ تِجَارَةً لَنْ تَبُورَ إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَتْلُونَ كِتَابَ اللَّهِ Indeed, those who recite the book of Allah. وَأَقَامَ الصَّلَاةِ And they establish the prayer. وَأَنفَقُوا And they spend مِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ from what we have given to them. سِرَّ وَعَلَانِيَةً In open and in secret. يَرْجُونَ تِجَارَةً لَنْ تَبُورَ Those are the people who what? Who hope. Do they get? They hope. Didn't Allah subhanahu didn't say they'll get. Those are the people who hope. That's why you call people who hope. When they do everything, they pray and they read the book of Allah and they spend what Allah subhanahu has given to them open and in secret. Those are the people who hope in tijaratan lan tabur and hope in transaction that will not fail, that will not be unsuccessful. So the people who hope, when we're talking about hope, that's what hope means, ar-raja. To do all that you can and then you hope Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept your deed. That's why, remember the first hadith that we mentioned in the ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالَّذِينَ يُؤْتُونَ مَا آتَوْا وَقُلُوبُهُمْ وَجِلَةً أَنَّهُمْ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ رَاجِعُونَ What does that mean? Indeed, those who give of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to them and their hearts are soft and to their Lords they return. What did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say when Aisha asked, these are people who commit sins? And no. These are the people who commit sins and they return to Allah. No, these are the people who pray and they fast and they do all these things and then they are afraid that Allah will not accept their deeds. They're afraid. Then they have that they hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts their deeds. So that's what it means to hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَمَّنْ هُوَ قَانِتُ الْآنَا اللَّيْلِ سَاجِدًا وَقَائِمًا يَحْذَرُ الْآخِرَةَ وَيَرْجُ رَحْمَةَ رَبِّهِ قُلْ هَلْ يَسْتَوِي الَّذِينَ يَعْلَمُونَ وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ إِنَّمَا يَتَذَكَّرُ أُولُو الْأَلْبَابِ Is it equal as those who stand up at night making sujood to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, standing, and they fear the akhirah? See, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about those who pray at night time, because this niyat tahajjud is the sifa, the characteristic of the mu'min. وَقَلِيلًا مِنَ اللَّيْلِ مَا يَهْجَعُونَ And indeed, a few hours in the night do they really sleep. They don't really sleep at night a lot. And قَائِمْ يَحْذَرُ الْآخِرَةِ means they're afraid of the akhirah. But that وَيَرْجُوا رَحْمَةَ رَبِّ Those people who are the ones who are afraid of the akhirah and they hope in Allah, those are the people who stand up at night time. أَنَا اللَّيْلِ And is it the same, those who know and those who don't know? Is it the same, those who know and those who don't know? Indeed, those who really know or have the knowledge and reflect are those who really يَتَذَكَّرُ أُولُو الْأَلْبَابِ Those who have, you know, like the mind, those who have, as I mentioned, the opposite of those who don't have marbles, enough marbles in their head. Those are the smart people. Those are the smart people. They do all that they can, then they hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if a person wants to get married, you know, he goes, and of course, he takes the steps, you know. He takes the steps and then after that, you know, ask around, tell people that he wants to get married, inshallah, he'll get help. And after that, of course, he becomes a good person also. If he's not good, nobody's going to give him their daughters, right? So you have to be a good person also at the same time. So take all the steps after that, inshallah, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take care of it. So that's what's called hoping in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And those are the people who are smart. And so it's obligatory for all of us to combine hope and fear. And because this is what will help us. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّهُمْ كَانُوا يُسَارِعُونَ فِي الْخَيْرَاتِ وَيَدْعُونَنَا رَغَبًا وَرَهَبًا وَكَانُوا لَنَا خَاشِعِينَ Indeed, they are the ones who compete with each other in doing good deeds. And they ask us, وَيَدْعُونَنَا رَغَبًا وَرَهَبًا And they ask us in hopes and in fear. At the same time, وَكَانُوا لَنَا خَاشِعِينَ And they used to have khushu, meaning used to have sincerity and at the same time tranquility and full concentration in obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions about the people of paradise, you know, the people, the sima, the simat, the characteristics of the mu'min, those who enter paradise are the ones who spend the night. When they leave the, you know, at night time especially, when you're under the blanket and your wife is next to you and you have the very nice bed, and you know, you got the air conditioning on very cold and you're under there, and you're very warm, and you just want to keep on sleeping. And then you leave all those things, and then you stand up and make wudu and pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the sifa of the mu'min, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Sajda, تَتَجَافَ جُنُوبُهُمْ عَنِ الْمَضَاجِعِ يَدْعُونَ رَبَّهُمْ خَوْفًا وَطَمَعًا وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ تَتَجَافَ جُنُوبُهُمْ عَنِ الْمَضَاجِعِ. And then they leave the madajir, the place of sleep. They leave their wives, they leave their beds, and they leave the comfort. يَدْعُونَ رَبَّهُمْ. And they ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in fear and in hopes, wanting from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in fear at the same time, and hoping in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at the same time. So, you know, when you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A lot of people ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for just the hereafter, or not the hereafter. They ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only for the dunya. They only ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the dunya. But, you know, if they, and then they forget the akhirah. And the dunya is just something that's fani. I mean, it's only temporary. And it'll go away. But, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَا يَقُولُ رَبَّنَا أَتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا وَمَا لَهُ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنْ خَلَاقٍ. And they're amongst the people who ask, oh Allah, give us the goodness of this dunya. And in the akhirah, they have nothing in the hereafter. And then, وَمِنْهُمْ مَا يَقُولُ رَبَّنَا أَتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً وَقِينَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. So, and amongst them who say, رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً, and oh Allah, give us amongst the goodness of the of this dunya and the goodness of the akhirah, and save us from the hellfire. And one of the companions, of course, that's why when you ask, make sure you ask for Jannah and ask to be saved from the hellfire. Ask to be saved from the hellfire. Ask for paradise and ask to be saved from the hellfire all the time. Ask, and so that's what, there's a hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam who a man came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said, ماذا تدعو في صلاتك? He said, what do you ask? What du'as do you make in your prayer? Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, أسأل الجنة وأستعيذ به من النار. He said, I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for paradise and I seek refuge from the punishment of the hellfire. And then the person said, as for me, he says, I can't be like you two, like Mu'adh, or he's made, because Mu'adh said, I can't be like you two. You know, I don't know how to, so he said, just ask for that, and that's all you should, and if you ask for that, then that's the hope and the fear. This day didn't know that means. This is what we ask for all the time. When we're in prayer, we should ask all the time in sujood. And, when we're sitting down in the final tashahud, to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for paradise. And some people, ask, when they ask for paradise, some people don't realize that some say, oh Allah, just enter me paradise. I don't care where it is. Now just enter me paradise. I don't care where it is. I don't care if it's the lowest level, just as long as I go to paradise. This is not correct. Also, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if you ask for paradise, ask for the highest level in paradise. Ask for the highest level in paradise. You know why? Because if a person asks for, it doesn't matter. I mean, he just wants to enter paradise. That means his deed, he's just working for just enough. He's just working he's doing just the obligatory actions only. If you look at a person who's like that. But if a person is really asking for high, the highest, of course, then he's going to try even harder and more. And if you should always aim for the highest, and that's how Muslims should always be. In everything, whatever we do, we always ask and we also always aim for the highest. Because we have something that's more powerful than anything. And that's dua, and we have Allah. So anything is possible. Even the impossible becomes possible. So that's why, when we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, always ask for the best in everything. So, for example, if you guys want to get married, don't just ask, oh Allah, just give me a so-so wife. It doesn't matter. I just want to get married as soon as possible.
You know, don't, if you're asking Allah, ask for the best. Ask for the pious one possible. And ask for the most beautiful one possible. So the same way, you know, every time you ask Allah, ask for the best. Well, don't settle for anything below the best when you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Even though you don't, I don't deserve it. Even though you think you don't deserve it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy is greater than whatever you can perceive. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give it to you. He can give it to you because he's able to. I mean, when he gives you like the one that's not, you know, not so good or, you know, medium, the mediocre wife, is he losing anything? No. Right? He can give you anything. And so ask for the best. And especially in paradise, ask for the highest. Ask for the highest in paradise, inshallah. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أَنَا عِنْدَ ظَنِّ عَبْدِي بِي وَأَنَا مَعُهُ إِذَا ذَكَرْنِي أَنَا عِنْدَ ظَنِّ عَبْدِي بِي. Meaning, I am whatever my Lord perceives me to be. You know, and if you think Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, you know, we'll give this to you. Inshallah, Allah will give it to you. So that's why you should always fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Of course, some of the scholars have mentioned we should fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more. Others say it's the same. But the time where they all agree upon is when you're about to die. When you're about to die, then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, let none of you die. Except that he has husnul dhan billah, meaning he's always thinking that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is most merciful, most gracious, because that's the time where you should hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because there's no more time for deeds. No more time for deeds. So when a person is about to die, tell them about the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Tell them about paradise, tell them about the good things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also will, you know, inshallah give us whatever we want as long as we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And just know one thing, that when we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's guaranteed that He'll give it to us, inshallah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as long as, you know, we're asking Him and we're not eating haram foods and things like that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give it to us. Either He'll give it to us in this life, or He'll, you know, save it for us for later, or He'll give it to us right away. And sometimes, you know, like, sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't want to give it to us right away because there's a reason, because it's good for us. For example, you know, a lot of people, and just as long as you don't ask for haram things. Some people ask for example, they ask, oh Allah, give me $3 million. You know, if I had $3 million, inshallah, I'll be good. You know, subhanAllah. If I had $3 million, inshallah, I'll give sadaqah, I'll give zakat. And, you know, and they have, you know, they had $300 in their pocket, and they don't want to put $1 inside the zakat box. And then they want $1 is that precious to them. 30,000 would be even more. Or three, you know, they're not going to give. So don't say that, because, you know, Ibn Adam, the sons of Adam, if you give him, you know, two valleys of gold, you know, valley of gold, he'll want another. If you give him two, he'll want another. And there's nothing that will fill his stomach except for turab, except for the dirt. That's the only thing that will fill your stomach. So don't lie to yourself, because the Prophet ﷺ said so. And you're Ibn Adam. You're not. Are you someone else? Are you not Ibn Adam? The Prophet said, Ibn Adam. And you're Ibn Adam. You're gonna want more. So whatever you have right now, just spend whatever you have, and don't say, inshallah, when I get this amount of money, I'm gonna get that amount of money. So when you ask Allah Subhanahu wa Taala, you either get it right away, and sometimes you don't get it right away, because if Allah knows, if you were to get it right now, maybe you'll never see him in the masjid again. Maybe that person, mashallah, he has a nice car and at the beach. Now the house is very far. Oh, he's too busy with his business because he got more money to open a business. So maybe Allah knows it. That's why he doesn't give it to you right away. So that's why the best dua, you know, to always remember, Rabbana atina fid dunya hasana. You know, oh Allah, give us the goodness of this life. Because sometimes we don't know what's good for us and what's bad for us. And then also the goodness in the hereafter, and free us from the hellfire. And that combines the hope of this dunya and the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the akhirah at the same time. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said another hadith from Abi Hurairah from Sahih Muslim. He said, لَوْ يَعْلَمُ الْمُؤْمِنُ مَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ مِنَ الْعُقُوبَةِ مَا طَمِعَ مِنْ جَنَّتِهِ أَحَدٍ بِجَنَّتِهِ أَحَدٍ. And he said, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if a mu'min were to know what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has in store for in terms of punishment, nobody will want his paradise. Nobody will ask for his paradise. Nobody will ask for his paradise. All you ask for is, you know, to be saved from the hellfire.
وَلَوْ يَعْلَمُ الْكَافِرُ مَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ مِنَ الرَّحْمَةِ مَا قَنِطَ مِنْ جَنَّتِهِ أَحَدٍ. And if a kafir were to know how much his mercy, the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, he would never lose hope in paradise for anybody. Nobody would lose hope in paradise. That's how great the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And at the same time, his punishment is also great. His punishment is so great. So this is what the mu'min should be. And inshallah, I'll end ta'ala with the author from Maqhul al-Dimashqi, rahimahullah, who said, "Man 'abada Allah bil-khawf wahdahu fahuwa hururi." He said, whoever worships Allah because of fear only, then is hururi. Hururi is the khawarij, those who say that, you know, if a person commits sins, great sin, he's going to be in hellfire forever. And وَمَنْ عَبَدَهُ بِالرَّجَاءِ فَهُوَ مُرْجِعِي. Murji'i. Murji'i are those who say, you know, the iman is here. So whoever worships Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with raja', with hope only, then he's a murji'i. The murji'i are those who say iman is in the heart only. You don't need any deeds. Just as long as you believe in Allah, inshaAllah. You know, those are the people who don't have enough marbles in their head. So, وَمَنْ عَبَدَهُ بِالْمَحَبَّةِ فَهُوَ زِنْدِيقٍ. And bahabba, wahda, whoever worships Allah subhanahu just because he loves Allah subhanahu, just because out of love only, then he's a zindiq. Zindiq is a person apostate outside of Islam. Outside of Islam. Just because of that. وَمَنْ عَبَدَهُ بِالْخَوْفِ وَالرَّجَاءِ وَالْمَحَبَّةِ فَهُوَ مُوَحِّدٍ سُنِّي. He said, whoever worships Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with hope and fear and love, then he is a muwahid. He is a person who is a Muslim who is Sunni. Muslim who a monotheist worships Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself, and inshallah subhanahu wa ta'ala there's another hadith inshallah subhanahu wa ta'ala I just like to mention a little bit before we end, and this is a hadith al-Qudsi in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya Ibn Adam, innaka ma da'awtani wa rajawtani ghafartu laka ala ma kana minka wa la ubali. Oh sons of Adam, you do not ask me and you don't hope from me. And if you did, I would forgive you and I wouldn't even care. I wouldn't even care. Ya ibn Adam, law balagat dhunubaka 'anan as-sama' thumma astaghfartani ghafartu laka wa la ubali. And oh sons of Adam, if your sins were to reach the heavens, the skies, and you ask forgiveness from me, then I will forgive you and I wouldn't even mind it. يا ابن آدم لو أتيتني بقراب الأرض خطايا ثم لقيتني لا تشرك بي شيئا لأتيتك بقرابها مغفرة. And if you were to come to me with the earth full of sins, and if you met me without any committing shirk to me, inshallah, without committing shirk, then I will come with you with the same in forgiveness. I will forgive you, inshallah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness. And another thing that a lot of people don't make mistakes with is when they commit sins, they start telling other people, and this is a very grave thing, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Kullu ummati mu'afan." All my whole ummah will be forgiven. Ilal mujahirun, meaning those people, except for those who are apparent, who go tell others about their sins. You know, so if Allah subhanahu wa taala, you know, covers it up for you, then ask Allah subhanahu for forgiveness. And one of the main things that we can do in hope and fear, if you hope and fear in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is to be consistent in praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at tahajjud. Because that's the time where hope and fear is most beneficial, because you're alone. And with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, speaking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and hoping from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم واستغفروا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.
You've reached the conclusion of this CD. Take the opportunity to evaluate yourself by going to ilmquest.org, where you will find a short quiz on the content of this presentation. That's www.ilmquest.org. The presentation will continue on the next CD.